We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's time to talk to one of our favorite guests, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. You could follow him on Twitter. Move the Sticks is his handle. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
Anytime you guys play me that song, I'm great. I can't complain.
Have you recovered from the draft?
I think so. It's always like that first week afterwards. I always get a little bit sick. And then you just kind of just worn down, and you're thinking that you have some kind of a terminal disease. And then after that week, you're like, okay, I'm good.
Daniel Jeremiah is our guest. Well, we've been looking forward to talking to you to ask you about the Chiefs draft and specifically the bold move of trading next year's first-round pick and a third-round pick this year to move up from 27 to 10 to nab quarterback Patrick Mahomes. What was your reaction?
Well, I mean, I think if it would have been, and really this is the way I feel on it, if it would have been any of the 31 other teams, I would have been pretty critical. I mean, I thought it was, you know, I thought that was a little bit rich for how far away Mahomes is, you know, and he's got a lot of development yet to take place. I did love meeting with the kid and getting a chance to visit with him. You see how coaches fall in love with him because he has all the physical tools, and you want to work with him as a kid because he's just, he's got a great personality, smart, engaging. I just thought it's kind of a long-term project. And for the other 31 teams, it doesn't make any sense. But with Kansas City having the stability they have at the coaching position in the front office and then having a coach, really, and a general manager who around Brett Favre and that style of play and the way he played the game, I mean, that's like when people ask me about Mahomes, I say the only guy I've seen have success playing outside the structure of the offense as much as this guy is Favre. And that, you know, okay, is he a unicorn? Can anybody else do it? Well, that's who you're hoping he can be, and he's around two people that have seen it be done before.
Okay, so when you say he's a project and a long ways off, we had a chance to go watch him participate in the rookie minicamp here in Kansas City, and the day I was there, he looked a long way off. I mean, it was a rough go for him in practice that day. But he said all the right things afterwards. How long of a process are we talking here? Are we talking, you know, it's going to be a year, 2 years? I mean, I know it's hard to put a single number on it, but I mean, how long of a process do you think this is going to be?
Well, I mean, look, it all can change. We never really know how fast these guys are going to develop. But when I watched him, I thought this is at least a 2 year project. I mean, I didn't think you'd see much. You'd be able to get much from him in the first 2 years of his career. So that's what I viewed. And most teams can't afford to do that nowadays. You can't afford to take a guy that's, you know, not going to be able to help you till year three. Now, you know, look, we've seen guys like Dak Prescott, you know, surprise us and really jump start the process. And maybe Mahomes will shock us all and be out there and contribute before that point in time. But when I watched him on college tape, just watching how raw he was, footwork-wise especially, he's got a long ways to go.
How does he compare to what you saw from Dak Prescott from that standpoint? I'm not saying like upside, but in terms of fundamentals, the ability to step in and play right away. Do you remember what you thought of Dak Prescott in those terms?
Yeah, you know, Dak Prescott, I would say, was much further along, just in terms of just his base and his footwork. It was just, you know, Dak was interesting because his junior year, he was just wildly inconsistent as a thrower, and then that kind of kept him from being higher on everybody's radar, and it kind of anchored him incorrectly, how I would phrase it. And then his next year, his senior year, he was markedly improved, just in terms of accuracy and ball placement and those things. So you're like, okay, well, let me bump him up a little bit from where he was, but where he was too far down the line to get him up high enough, so that's where the mistakes came in on Dak.
So we've been talking about the quarterback depth chart. Of course, Alex Smith is a starter, and the Chiefs still have Tyler Bray, but he's really given no indication that he can be an NFL quarterback. I mean, last year he had an opportunity to compete for the backup spot, and Aaron Murray and Kevin Hogan were all there, and the Chiefs decided they needed to go out and get a veteran in Nick Foles. And so it sounds like you don't think that Pat Mahomes could be the backup. I mean, look, if Alex Smith rolls an ankle, you can't put him in there, you know, week one. Do you think the Chiefs should be in the market for maybe a veteran backup to be ready in case Alex Smith were to get hurt early in the season?
Yeah, I definitely think they should. I mean, the thing that's interesting, though, is you have some time here in the offseason. There's still some veterans out there on the street. I don't have the list in front of me, but, I mean, you can kind of get an evaluation of your rookies here, and you'll see some reactionary moves based off of rookie camps and OTAs of teams saying, okay, this guy's not going to be able to help us right now. We got to go find a veteran in case something goes wrong here at the start of our depth chart here. So I would be surprised if they did not add a veteran quarterback before they get to training camp.
It's going to be very interesting to see who's available and who they can add at that point. Once we got to the rest of the draft for the Chiefs, we were a little surprised by the second round pick being the guy that, you know, we didn't know much about out of Villanova. What did you make of just the overall draft for the Chiefs outside of the pick for Mahomes?
Well, I mean, they took one of my favorite players in Kareem Hunt, so that was probably my favorite pick that they had. You know, I loved him as a back just in terms of how instinctive and natural he was as a runner. I think he's got a chance to be a really, really good pro. Tano Passanio from Villanova is all upside pick. He has got, I mean, he is body beautiful. He is enormous, and he's athletic. He hasn't figured it all out yet. He plays a little bit high. There's some things you need to work on with him. So to me, I thought, you know, he's somebody that you're, again, drafting for the future. So I don't know if this draft is going to be, you know, you're going to feel that impact year one as much as you're hoping to see what you get from these guys a couple years down the road. The exception being Kareem Hunt. I am a big fan of his. I think you guys are going to really like him.
They need a running back. They clearly needed some help at that position last year. Can he help right away?
I think so. Absolutely. And again, I come back to running backs with vision and balance being so important. We can get carried away with height, weight, speed, but if you run into the back of your offensive lineman, that doesn't really matter much. So this kid's just got excellent vision and balance and patience, and he's got some short area quickness and burst. I mean, I think he is a really good player. I was around Chester Taylor when he was with the Ravens, and, you know, same school, Toledo. He's a better player than Chester Taylor. Chester Taylor carved out a nice little career for himself.
So you're not worried about, because that's one of the things people would knock him on, is that he doesn't have that breakaway speed if he does get it to the second level. You're not concerned about that?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. I think, look, you look at Jordan Howard last year, what he did with Chicago Bears. He doesn't have breakaway speed either. He was second in the league in rushing. So it's nice to be able to hit some home runs, but you can win a lot of games with doubles and triples.
Daniel Jeremiah is our guest. Getting back to the quarterback question, there were a lot of people, or at least fans, that when they saw the Chiefs had drafted up, they thought the pick was going to be Deshaun Watson. What do you think of the comparison between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? Who do you like better as a prospect?
Yeah, I like Deshaun Watson better, personally. I thought you're talking about someone with a much higher floor. You know, you can debate it. I'd say, look, Mahomes has more arm talent, more arm strength, and can do some things that Watson can't do. I just thought Watson is just a much more consistent player, much further along, ready to play. When we were running up to the draft, on past the draft, we had kicked around the scenarios with them with quarterbacks. The reason why I had mentioned Mahomes several times with the Chiefs, though, was because, okay, if you're drafting Watson, you're really kind of you're hoping you get a little bit, you know, a newer, fresher, maybe a slightly upgraded version of Alex Smith. Very similar skill sets with Alex Smith. Now, Mahomes, to me, has more kind of a, you know, Donovan McNabb type ability, where you're talking about just huge arm, can extend plays and do some different things that allows you to play at a higher level. Now, the problem is, can you play there consistently? And that's going to be the challenge.
We hear a lot about how complicated and intricate Andy Reid's offensive system is. Do you have a sense as to which guy has the better potential to grasp the offense and understand what Andy Reid wants from it in the long term between Watson and Mahomes?
You know, I never got a chance to spend much time with Deshaun Watson. Everything I'd heard, you know, from his meetings with teams was how well he had picked up concepts. The one thing I'll say, though, I met with Mahomes for, gosh, we probably had him in our podcast studio for 30 minutes or so. And one of the things I did with him, which I love to do when I was scouting, is, you know, hey, you know, I was watching the TCU game. You guys have a drive late in that game. You know, you threw a touchdown. What did you see? What was the play call? What happened? And he had immediate recall without, you know, having to show him any video or even tell him what the route was or anything. He gave me the play call. He gave me the coverage. He gave me the decision. So that's a great sign for quarterbacks when you have that type of memory. So I think he'll be able to pick it up. It's a challenging offense. It'll take some time, but he's an intelligent kid.
Daniel Jeremiah is our guest. You know, Daniel, it feels like there's this window that's open, you know, with guys like Derry Johnson and Tamba Hali getting towards the end of their careers. I mean, Alex Smith is in his 30s. Jeremy Maclin has been here for a few years. You've got this nucleus that's been right there on the door, but they have not been able to get past the divisional round and into the AFC Championship game. What do you think of the Chiefs now that, you know, we're through the big part of free agency and this draft? How do they measure up, in your opinion, in the AFC West and in the AFC in general?
Well, I got every single Chiefs fan upset at me because during the draft when we were talking about that division, and I talked about how I thought the Raiders were trying to build their team to compete with the Patriots, you know, kind of even thinking outside the division. And the Chiefs fans were quick to point out that, you know, look, the Chiefs are doing quite okay in this division. You can't forget about them. I still think that's going to be one of the best divisions in the NFL. I think the Chargers are much better. You know, I think it's just going to be the Broncos with their defense. I don't know. I get the sense that Chiefs, you could say that maybe they're as good as they were. Maybe they can even take a little step forward. I just get the sense this year, this could be that division where, you know, you only get 9 or 10 wins to win the division. I think they're going to all beat up on each other. It's so solid all the way through.
And it just feels like, you know, as long as Brady is healthy in New England, it's New England's conference, and there's not much anyone else can do about it, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, the team, I come back to, you know, just the Raiders just from the standpoint that I think quarterback-wise, that kid's capable of getting a hot and playing at an elite level, and they could compete if they keep Carr healthy all the way through. That can be kind of a difference maker. And I think that, to circle back in our conversation, goes back to why you see them, the Chiefs, make a bold move with Mahomes and just saying, okay, Alex is a really good player. He can get us consistently at this level. But to make a run in the postseason, you got to be, it's like having a postseason pitcher. You got to get hot and you got to play at an elite level for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I think if you just stack up ability-wise, I think Derek Carr's got a higher ceiling and has more capability to do that than Alex over that stretch of weeks.
Daniel, speaking of quarterbacks, I have one final question for you that's off topic from the Chiefs, but just because it seems like it's been such a hot-button issue, is the fact that Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job, despite throwing 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions last year. I'm reading there's a lot of buzz that the Seahawks seem to be the team that are most likely to sign him. Do you think this is a football decision by teams that he hasn't been signed yet, and what do you think is going to end up happening with him?
Well, I mean, I think, look, I think it has to be other factors involved in it. You know, I don't get too deep into it, but just as a player, I mean, if you look at the way the league works and you say, okay, this guy was a second-round pick, he played well enough to be a part of that Super Bowl team that went to the Super Bowl. He's got a big arm. He's athletic now. He hadn't played great. I know those numbers you just gave were decent from last year. He hasn't played great the last couple of years, but that's been kind of a dumpster fire in San Francisco. Yeah. Historically, with somebody that's had that type of success and has that type of ability, he would not be available at this point in time. So, I'm surprised that somebody hasn't done it. I think he, personally, he can debate a starter or this or that. This is a heck of a number two quarterback to get him.
Daniel, before we let you go, you got through another draft, so what are you working on now?
Did a lot of vacuuming yesterday.
Yeah.
We might go dusting.
There you go.
Dusting today. There's some yard work that's not going to do itself, you know. So we got a lot of things to get done here.
Do some mock vacuuming or anything like that?
Yeah, a mop draft.
Right.
You got a top-of-the-line vacuum you're working with there. You got a Dyson or something. What are you working on there?
Yeah, you know, we don't cut corners there. You know, you got to invest in the important pieces here. So we got a nice Dyson. We're proud of it.
Nice.
Well, man, we sure enjoyed watching you on NFL Network as always. Great job covering the draft and breaking it down, and we appreciate you coming on the show, Daniel.
No problem. No Padre questions, huh?
What do you think? I like Manny Margot. I think he's a rising star. He's a rising star.
Well, just make the decision for me before I go. If you're the Padres, you're 3 years away. Do you trade Will Myers or do you keep him?
Oh boy. Well, the Royals traded Will Myers and then won the World Series, so that worked for them. But I'm a fan. I like Will Myers.
He's a great player.
You know, it feels like you have to plant your flag at some point and say, okay, we're going to build around a guy and quit flipping him. And it seems like, you know, with his age and his ability to hit for power and everything, why not build around him?
Yeah, you got him signed through 2022, so, you know.
You know, keep him.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
All that means is we'll trade him.
Right.
Cool.
More attractive as a trade piece. Daniel, thank you. And good luck to the Padres,
yeah.
Daniel.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I just follow the single A team, let's be honest.
That's all right.
We've been there, buddy. We know how it feels.
They're stocked with talent. Daniel, we appreciate it, man. That's Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter. Move the Sticks is his handle. A must follow for any NFL fan. Back after this on WHB.